and the state decided to renovate the property in which I was working in. And so I was out of work. They said it would be about 3 months, but it ended up being over a year. And when I was out of work, I mean, I was trusting the Lord. And one day I went to the refrigerator, and I looked in the refrigerator, and all I had was about a half an onion and a little bit of milk, maybe a quarter of milk. I looked in the cabinets, and they were there. Nothing in the cabinets, only that was in the refrigerator. And I said, well, everything will be all right. I'm trusting the Lord. I was reading about Elijah during that time. I'm really studying 1 Kings chapter 17. I was reading that story real closely, and it was really touching my heart. And I was sitting there in my living room, and I was praying, talking to the Lord, studying, reading the Bible, doing the things I do. And all of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. I went to the door, and it was a neighbor of mine, Miss Simone was her name. And she said to me, "Carl." And I had never mentioned anything, I promise you, I've never mentioned anything to anybody about my situation. I just said, "See what the Lord will do." And she said, "Carl, do you love cornbread?" I said, "You better believe I do." And she said, "Well, I baked a cake of cornbread for you. I just baked it, and I'm baking me one." And I thought about that story of life. She said, "And do you like pinto beans?" I said, "You better believe it."
Yeah.
And so I sat down to a meal, but I couldn't eat it for 30 minutes for thinking about it. And some people might have said, "Now that was coincidence." No, it wasn't.
Right.
That was God's work.
Yes, sir.
And I must truthfully say that during that year, I was out of work, my bills got paid, and I really never saw a hungry day.
Amen.
That showed me from then on I could trust the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You know, growing in the Christian faith, and, you know, the Lord will allow us to go through times like that because He wants us to just simply trust Him and let Him prove Himself to us. That He is able, that He, at His word, just like He said, there's not a sparrow that falls to the earth without that He knows about it.
Amen.
He has numbered the very hairs of our head.
Amen.
And He tells us not to worry about those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So the Lord knows how to take care of His children. Amen. And He does. He allows us to go through times. So we'd have a testimony. So Brother Carl have a testimony to be able to tell someone else. All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I want to talk a little bit this evening on the home and to try to be a help and a strength to our homes. The church, as many men of God have said, will not be any stronger than the home is. And the home is God's first institution. Before the church, there was the home. The home. Marriage. A husband and a wife. and children. And God means for the home to be blessed. In verse 22, and again, there's no way that I could cover all of this, but I just want to give you some verses this evening and pull out a few things that will be a help and a strength to our homes. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Amen. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I want you to notice he keeps saying your own husbands. Not someone else's husband.
Amen.
You see, if you listen, and I say this humbly and to be a help, I know that there are women that have to work, but if a man, a boss, if you wind up doing more what they ask you to do than what your husband wants you to do, you're not being submitted to your own husband. See, you'd be submitted to someone else's husband or to another man. Always do what your husband has felt in his heart. If he's a Christian man, say, follow him, not another man. You go down through here and you look at this, and most people want to concentrate on the wives submitting themselves. This is a great picture also of us submitting ourselves to Christ.
Amen.
He starts right here with that submission of the weaker vessel to the stronger vessel, because if that's not working, then everything's going to be out of order. If we are not subject to Christ as the weaker vessel to the stronger, the church will never be what it needs to be. We must be submitted as a wife is to the husband. The wives submit themselves to the husband. The husband unto Christ. As much as we want our wives to submit to us, we should so much the more submit ourselves unto our Lord. The strength lies with the one who is the stronger vessel. He must be submitted to his Lord. We can't expect a wife to be in this submitted. Listen, it's not, like they're in chains and having to bow and to be broken in some way like that. No, it simply means she has taken her place as the weaker vessel. She has submitted to where she is. Listen, it's an honor to be what God has made you to be. A man is made in the image of God, and we'll read where that God, he said in the book of Genesis, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man, made in the image of man." Taken out of a man. And, so we have this woman that God has given us, has taken her from us.
She is that part of us that we need. If she tries to be anything other than what we need, are you listening to me? Then how can a man be the right kind of leader if the wife is not submitted to him with what he needs her to be? She is everything that he needs to be able to accomplish what God's will would be for his family. And so the husband is the head of the wife. This is the order that God has given to the family. The husband. It is male. Listen, it's not some woman trying to be a husband. We know that here. But for sake of radio, I'm just going to say it. There are females that say they're the husband. And are you listening to me? And other and men, that it's awful. That is not the construct of the family. Sodomy has no place in the family. The structure of the family is the very picture of God. Three. Husband, wife, child. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. This is a unit that comes from one another. The wife comes from the husband. The child comes from the wife and the husband. Has to. So if you take two men, how's a child going to come from that? Or two women, how's a child going to come from that? It takes the male, the female, to have the child. This is the construct of the family. Therefore, as the church, all of this is the mystery of the church. A mystery of the church. He speaks concerning Christ and the church. He lets us know that. When you look at the home, you look at the structure of a temple. You look at how that operates, that God is the one that is above all. God has to be the head of the home. God's ways have to be the head of the home. Man is taking his place as the head of the home, as the head, the under-shepherd, under God, to say, this is how my home, this is how this home operates. The wife submits to that. She's not necessarily submitting just to this man, but this man that is submitted to God, to God's ways. The wife must be submitted to God. She cannot be submitted to her husband if she is not submitted to God. And a man can never be the head, again, that he's supposed to be of his wife if he's not submitted to God. Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. To me, this is the strongest part of this teaching. Everything is centered around, listen, men, how much we love our families will determine what kind of family we will have, where we will go for God. If our wife is pleased, if our children are in subjection, it's because we love our families. If you love God, you can love your family. He's commanding us. You know, you'd think you don't have to tell a man, love your wife. But yes, we do. Sometimes men and women fall out of love with one another. And it's because they've fallen out of love with God. We stay in love with God. We can love that spouse the way that we should. This is the one that I have joined to. They are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We are one. When she hurts, he hurts. He hurts, she hurts. When he goes, she goes. Amen? All that is done through the husband loving the wife. The wife loving the husband, even as Christ also loved the church. That is the gauge. You don't love your wife the way a child loves a mother. You don't love your wife the way you love your mama. You love her the way Christ loved the church and gave himself. Gave himself. Think about the weight of that love that Christ, this gets me every time. It convicts me. Why? Because I fall short of loving my wife the way Christ loves us. How can I stand to that measure? How could we stand to that measure? That is the goal. That is the aim. Our love should be growing, 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 not decreasing. It should constantly be growing. Do the things that we must do. The more I submit myself to God, surely the more I will love God, the more I will love her. I come to God. I concentrate on my love with him, it'll help me concentrate on my love for her. It's in our hands. Why? We are the head. How can you expect anything else to operate without the head? Cut it off. What do you have? No connection, no electricity, no thought. Nothing. Gone. It is from the head that all signals, all thought, all feeling, relay. Everything that you and I should do. We love as Christ did and gave himself for it. Listen, men, give yourself to your wives. Give yourself to your children. Your children are an heritage of the Lord. They're not a burden. They're a heritage of the Lord. My little children, Paul constantly spoke to the believers. He saw them as a precious child. Those converts, my little children, innocent, tender, that need care, that need leadership, that need a father and a mother. That need love. I feel sorry for some kids because you can look at them and you can tell they don't get a whole lot of love. You can go right down here in the store and watch some of these kids get yelled at, screamed at, smacked on. And it's that way from the time they come out of the parking lot across through the store and all the way back out. That child is looking for love. It needs love. It's going to mess that child up in ways that you cannot possibly understand. It'll mess our homes up in ways we cannot possibly comprehend if we don't have love for our wives and love for our husbands, love for our children, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Our home is set apart by us, different from everything else. Don't treat your home like anything else. You shouldn't treat somebody else's home, somebody else's marriage, somebody else's life better than you'd treat your own. Sometimes we can be better to other people than we are our own wives or husbands or children. We should love them, sanctify them. They are as vessels in the house of God, precious, set apart, sanctified by the Word. You see, it is the Word that gauges how we live, how our home is made, what we do in our home, what we don't do in our home, regardless of what everybody else is doing in their home. This is my home. I don't care what you do in your home, this is my home. And nobody's going to tell me what to do in my home. Amen? Listen, I could offer up all kinds of advice from the precious Word of God, but every one of you men, you're the head of your home. Your home will be sanctified the way you make your home. It'll be set apart the way you set it apart. Not the way I set it apart, but how you see fit before God. And it should be on how much you love, how much they submit. It says in chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I looked at this. If it's right for children to obey their parents, he said, for this is right. It's right for us to love our wives. It's right to take the leadership. It's right, wives, to submit to your husband and to love him. To be in the home, everything that we should be. He tells us in Ecclesiastes 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. You see, you can't live joyfully if you don't love them. You know why some people are not happy in their home? They don't love one another the way they should. Live joyfully, he said. He wants you to live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of your life, not just the newlywed years. Go back to that time, you remember? Remember, guys, candy all the time, flowers. Even when they said, don't spend money on the flowers, they just go dead anyway. You bring them anyway. Man. Love your wife all the days of your life, the days of life of thy vanity, Solomon said, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. This is a portion of God's blessing, a portion of God's blessing. Your family. It's not everything, but it is a good portion. In this life, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Amen. He said in Colossians 3, same, familiar, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. There are some things that's right. There's some things that it's fit to do. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:11, he said, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. I know he was talking about the deacon's wives, but wouldn't it be good for any wife? Amen. Sober, That means I'm sober-minded. That doesn't just mean that, you know, she doesn't walk around half-lit. Amen. It's talking about being sober-minded, clear-minded. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, look what he says in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, he's talking about husbands, if the husband obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So now he's speaking to saved women that have unsaved husbands. And said, you submit. You be in subjection. Now, I really believe the Bible teaches this. I don't think God meant that if your lost husband asks you to deny your faith, that you should pay him much mind. But as a wife, you be in subjection. Listen, he's not going to be won by the... you may not confess one scripture, but the scripture that is by the conversation of your life, he'll see it, and that's how he'll be won. He'll see you walking in the fear of the Lord. He'll see you still loving him, taking your place as the wife. Amen? And it'll be too much for him. That's what he said. They also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That means your chaste life, the way you walk, they see you as a Christian lady. I've known men that knew they had a Christian lady for a wife. And they respected her highly. And the only way that they were ever going to be one by her faithfulness to God. He tells us about her adorning. And he's not saying you can't plait your hair or wear gold or especially put on apparel. Yeah, he does want you to put on apparel. But he said, not these things. Let it not be these things, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. You see, because the outward is corruptible. He may see your discouragement one day, but that which is within, that which is holy and godly, that hidden man of the heart, is an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God, a great price. Wives, that means much that you carry yourself as an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. The Bible speaks about those that are loud in Proverbs. That's not a godly spirit, but a meek and quiet spirit. That doesn't mean you don't talk. That doesn't mean that you can't ask a question. But I think throughout the scripture, if you see it, she's not after the attention of men all the time. Look at me, look at me. Are you listening? Holy women. That's what he called them. After this man, the old time, holy women who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. That was important. They were in subjection to their own husbands. Help your husband be what he needs to be. Be proud to be the second. Be proud to be his helpmeet. Help him. He needs your help. That shows strength from you. Sometimes it shows a woman stronger than her husband. Why? Because he is giving up on his part. But she is not, and she refuses to let him give up on his part. Amen? Likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We know what that means. We know what the Bible talks about that. Listen, this is a command. Find out what is pleasing to them. You live with them. You find out what's going to make them happy. Find out what hurts them and get it out. You dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife. You see, again, for a wife, being in subjection, being submissive, it's not making a doormat unto her. No, that man should give honor to her. Always in ways that she knows you love her. Don't take advantage of her. Don't take advantage of her. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You need to always remember, men, they're built the way they're built. There are some things, listen, there are some things they're not made to handle. And men, there's sometimes you need to be strong enough to bear something without throwing it on your wife's shoulders. Amen. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I know that there are, I've seen men, and it's sad, and it's convicting. It should cause us to look. I've seen men sometimes in these camp meetings that they come in, you can tell they don't honor their wife, and they act like they can go and they're going to be the very one to get through to God. No, they're not. You can't see that he honors her, there's no way he can pray. No way. If we can't love them, I was talking about that this morning, how can we love God? We can't talk to them, how can we talk to God? That one gets me, I'll tell you why, because I'm not a big talker. And that's no excuse. I do a lot of confessing before the Lord. Honor them. Honor them. Help them. They help you. Help them. Find your place. Find your place and lead. Children, obey your parents. This is right. It's right to do what they ask you. Listen, kids in this church, when your parents say your name, don't say what. Say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Honor them and obey them. It's right. right. Amen. Realize what they have done to. I've seen kids just, I don't think we've got none here, but I've seen kids in the world just very snotty and, well, I didn't ask to be brought into this world. You know, that's when your flesh rises up and says, well, I can take you out. You don't appreciate your life? Amen. God gave you a life and gave everybody here good family. Good families. Amen. Good moms and good dads. You ought to be thankful that you're not in other places. Amen. You could be in other places, bad places, very bad places. But you've got family that shows love, that loves God, that brings you here. That brings you here. Amen. All right, I'm done for this evening.